Malachy in Belfast. Morning, Malachy.
How you doing, Stephen? I just can't understand. Well, I think pre-election, bringing Campbell and McCausland onto your show is actually fantastic from a nationalist point of view. Because, you know, for use of a better word, projectile vomit that comes out of them two particular guys, who you say have a point of view, would put any nationalist thinker in right into the arms of Sinn Féin politics, because they're so anti-Catholic. Now, forget about nationalism and republicanism. They're so anti-Catholic in their views.
Well, they would say, they would deny that. They would absolutely deny that, wouldn't they?
That's the way it comes across.
Yeah. Well,
I'm not a Republican, and I don't have a Sinn Féin agenda. But when you hear the rhetoric of them two individuals,
they would say they work for everybody in their constituencies.
Not at all. And the venom that's in their voice, and the one-sided politics.
It's called forceful politics. It's not venom. I'm not comfortable with it about these two individuals. Let's widen this again.
Okay. Then take the DUP as a whole party. One-sidedness. They talk about that. You know, all you get out of the DUP is a way forward, a way forward, a way forward. Yet most of the villages and towns that they represent in this country are festooned with British flags here, there, and everywhere. And the force of one-sidedness view on everybody. It's the same with homosexuality. It's the same with marriage. It's the same with Catholics. And if you take the way
they have a mandate, push their policies.
The Reverend, and he was anti-Muslim, and they slammed the Muslim community. It's all
no, they
them,
didn't.
Them.
They didn't slam the Muslim community. That's inaccurate. They didn't.
How is that accurate? They said that Muslims you couldn't send them to shops, and then we had massive hysteria here. The doctors were going to leave the royal.
They didn't say they couldn't send them to the shops.
It's
Peter Robinson you're referring to, and he said completely the opposite to what you've just said.
He wouldn't trust them to send them to the shops.
No, he
and
said
he
did not say that. He did not say that.
Well, what did he say then?
Let's move on. Do you think the compromise situation is in Northern Ireland?
Well, I think the compromise situation is this. Everyone's talking about this massive vote that Sinn Féin had. Let's be perfectly honest. You know, it was the late Cardinal Thomas O'Fee, who was the Primate of Ireland, the bishop, said there is no such a thing as a moderate unionist politician, because such a person would never be elected. And I think the unionist community have got to reflect on that in their views about everything. If there was a moderate unionist politician, I don't think Sinn Féin would get the votes they get. And I also think that the community of unionism would open their arms a wee bit wider for a bit more fair play. Because he was absolutely right. There is no such thing as a moderate unionist. And if you take Foster, the minute the way she's getting on, they've lost the whole sight of why people want her to step aside because of this scandal and the Heaton thing. You know, people have lost the sight of that. They're still back now to the orange and green. Arlene Foster was in charge of something that cost this state millions and millions of pounds. So it's only right. And listen to your TV show last night. They were saying Sinn Féin's dictating who should be First Minister. They're not. They're asking them.
They're dictating who shouldn't be. They're saying Arlene Foster will not be in a government with them.
No, they didn't say that.
While the RHI inquiry is continuing.
Yeah, correct. While that continues. So they haven't ruled out that they'll sit down and talk there. All they've said is for her to step aside. But, you know, you were pumping out last night that they said they wouldn't sit in the government.
I'm asking what the difference would be for the DUP saying, do you know what, we'll go into government, but we're not going into government while Gerry Adams is the president. We demand he steps aside. Do you know what? We'll go into government, but we will not go into government while Gerry Kelly, because of his past,
okay, well,
is one of the negotiators. We demand he steps aside as a negotiator. DUP could say, do you know what? We'll go into government, but we will not go into government while Michelle O'Neill is your leader, given what her beliefs are. You could. What I'm trying to say is, any political party in this country, Malachy, yep, could come up with a reason to say they're not accepting someone else.
Well, let me.
So
let
where
me
do
that.
You draw the line?
Okay, let me answer that question. The whole thing boils down to this. The reason that Sinn Féin are in government, and this is lost on a lot of people.
They're not in government at the moment.
Well, the reason Sinn Féin are in government and the DUP are repulsed by this, to get them into the government of Northern Ireland, you know, the Sinn Féin had to bring the ARA in from the cold. Weapons and guns had to be handed in. You had Paisley at the time wanted to see all this.
And what's your point?
And the point is, you know, they had to do a deal to be where they are. The unionists unions, like just saying Sinn Féin decided tomorrow, okay, we're not going to talk to anybody in the unions committee unless, if you're in the Orange Order, which is a sectarian organisation, the way Catholics are seen,
again,
speaking to you.
Again, so, the Orange Order, people in the Orange Order would have a different interpretation.
Of course they would, but to use your argument, why should we talk to anybody in the Orange Order? Because that's a blatantly sectarian organisation.
Well, and they would most deny the that, wouldn't they? And they, in fact, I think there was a statement from them last year, wasn't there, that they want to reach out to people in all different communities. Just to correct what you said about Peter Robinson, by the way, of course I was right and you were wrong. What he actually said, Mr. Robinson said he would not trust Muslims involved in violence or those devoted to Sharia law. He said he would trust them to go to the shops for him. So completely the opposite to what you said. Let me bring in Jude Collins this morning. Morning to you, Jude.
Good morning, Stephen.
Where is the compromise, for example, Jude, over Irish language possible? So Arlene says never under her watch. The Sinn Féin, through Pat Sheehan, have said they ain't getting into government without it.
Well, the fact of the matter is that an Irish Language Act was promised in the St Andrews Agreement. And as far as I know, the line Sinn Féin are taking is that they aren't looking for fresh agreements. They're looking for the agreements that have been established, but to have those lived up to. Now, with regard to the Irish language, which is what I understood we're going to be talking about, I just came across a statement from a man called Ian Malcolm, which was in the Belfast Telegraph on the 2nd of December 2014, and he says, and I quote, "I'm Protestant, Unionist and British, and proud of all those things. But I'm also very proud to be an Irish speaker, and have been for 20 years. Speaking Irish has not turned me into a Catholic, Nationalist or Republican." Now, I don't think that could be said better than the way that Mr. Malcolm has said it. The Irish language, in my opinion, is something of enormous value. I mean, people say, oh, well, there's more people who speak Polish in Northern Ireland, or, you know, what good is it to you? There's not other people who are speaking it, or that kind of thing. You could say the same thing about art. You could say the same thing about music. You say the same thing about English literature.
Did you hear Nelson McCausland compare the amount of funding towards Irish language to Ulster Scots?
Yes, well, that's a matter perhaps for an adjustment. But that's a different matter from saying that the Irish language doesn't need support.
An adjustment might be a euphemism for people like Nelson McCausland. He might be wondering why Ulster Scots is not being fought.
Well, I think it was maybe Nelson who said we've got to look at these things honestly, and I would agree. And certainly Ulster Scots, which many people have an interest in, I think does require support. I think there also would be a need for some degree of honesty. And one of the things I believe, personally, is that Ulster Scots is not a language, but it is a dialect. Now, it actually happens to be a wonderfully subtle and funny dialect. My father, I remember years and years ago, used to delight in seeking out what we now call Ulster Scots expressions and repeating them because they had that kind of colour and dash to them. But I think if we maybe talk about it as a dialect and talk about the Irish language as a language, then we might make some degree of progress. But we start off with this kind of false identification. I think that's really hobbling ourselves from the very set off, you know?
Jude, thanks very much. Morning to you. Thanks for coming on today. 9:45, 80-55-55. John in Belfast. Morning, John.
Dave, I was just wondering there, I was just saying, you know, how lucky we are that we've moved on a little bit. Because under the old unionist regime and under the Special Powers Act, you may have found yourself interned in the BBC Northern Ireland closed down.
What are you talking about?
You know, that's what I'm saying. Under the Special Powers Act, they had that power to close down radio stations and television stations and intern anybody who was making seditious comments. So I say you could have found yourself interned because of them. Now, what I would like to say too, if I may, we were talking about the DUP being the largest party, Sinn Féin being second largest, but the rest of the party, if you can find or combine their whole vote, you will find that more people voted against the DUP and voted against the RHI than voted for DUP. So there's more people over here want Arlene Foster to step back than there is for her to stay.
So you go to majority rule then, do you?
Well, you see, you have to say, because on the circumstances, well, I mean, you can't go majority rule. Yes, I would like to see majority rule brought in here again. particularly the 1919 last Ordinary election, when 73 Sinn Féin, 6 Home Rule, 26
Unionists voted. Name me one proven allegation against Arlene Foster.
Well, it's easy, Stephen. There's people go to court and they get bail because they haven't been found guilty or they haven't had a trial yet. So,
and they're able to get on with their jobs.
And,
there is a presumption of innocence.
Not all the time, Stephen, because some of them are under curfew, they're tagged, and all sorts. None of them suggesting Arlene Foster should happen to her by any sense of measure. But I think there's no reason why she shouldn't step aside for the greater good of all of us so we can get this thing sorted out and get back to where we were.
And what does it gain her stepping aside for up to a year or more? Who knows when that inquiry will report? What does it actually gain?
Well, it gains...
So the Sinn Féin are saying that they're content with her remaining as the leader. They're not going to dictate with her as the leader. So she's still going to be in control of the party. So what would it actually achieve if Arlene Foster was not in that First Minister position?
It'll get the executive back up and running.
No, but what would it achieve? What difference would there be, her being First Minister or her not being First Minister?
Well, the difference is there is a suspicion, and nobody obviously wants to work with anybody who's suspected of any wrongdoing. So I think that...
So there are no suspicions around Gerry Adams? None?
Oh, there's plenty of suspicion around Gerry Adams.
Well, he remains President.
No, but then
he remains president. He remains every press conference, most press conferences I've seen coming from Sinn Féin during these negotiations. It's Gerry Adams front and centre.
Yeah, I know, but Gerry Adams is not on the executive up here. That's the difference.
Well, but he's clearly leading some of the charge with the current negotiations.
Well,
he's standing side by side beside Michelle O'Neill.
I would say Gerry Adams is repeating what is said, maybe in conference with the SDLP delegates. And Gerry Adams has basically just been the spokesman. I don't think they're all Gerry Adams' ideas.
John, thank you. Sean next. Morning, Sean.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Is that you, Sean?
Hello, Stephen.
Yes, Sean. Yes.
Stephen, how's it going?
Good morning.
Just been a bit annoyed, really, at your reporting over the last couple of days, just about, you know, you keep making out this is all Sinn Féin, but... Sinn Féin could have got rid of Arlene Foster before Christmas when there was a vote on no confidence, and they refused to take part in it. You know, people seem to miss this. You know, Sinn Féin were more than patient with Arlene Foster. Mark McGuinness first privately went and asked her to step aside, giving advice on the RHA scandal. And it's all about RHA. Now, every other party, as far as I'm aware, voted in the vote on no confidence. I'm not sure, but except Sinn Féin. And Sinn Féin were criticised for it. But you very quickly forget this, you know what I mean, Nick? They've been more and more impatient.
So what would it... I come back, clear all the noise out of this, okay?
Yes.
What would it achieve? How would it improve waiting lists or the health service or education or the moral fabric of the society?
There's a possible £500 million hole in a grant.
Yep.
How is that not going to impact on all of that there? And you really think that somebody should be allowed to continue in a job that overseen something to that, you know, a mess to that extreme? Do you really believe it, like?
Well, I guess what the DUP are saying is that...
Well, they're trying to make it out as if Sinn Féin's trying to dictate to them. Sinn Féin aren't. They never have. In fact, Martin McGuinness went at the very start and spoke to her privately and asked her to step aside. He didn't make a whole big fanfare about it.
Well, they're demanding it now.
You're saying they're demanding.
No, I'm not. They're demanding it.
They went to the electorate.
Conor Murphy used the word demand.
Conor
Murphy two days ago on this programme, used the word demand on a number of occasions. They are demanding to the party that has more seats in Northern Ireland. They are demanding.
Well, Stephen, you're saying about the party with more seats. I'll echo what one of the previous callers said. There was more parties than Stormont than the DUP and Sinn Féin, and every other party, again, I'm going to say it, voted in a no confidence. You know, voted in the vote of no confidence to get Arlene Foster out. Everybody except Sinn Féin. So don't be saying Sinn Féin didn't try this or Sinn Féin had been demanding this. Now, everybody knew from the start. That's why they went to the electorate with this in mind. And people voted in their droves for Sinn Féin. You know, they're within 1,000 votes of the DUP now being the largest party. So, you know, and I would say
should
there's a
there
lot
be?
Of unionists.
Should there
there's,
be? If this
there's
is
a lot of unionists have transferred to Sinn Féin or RHA.
If this, Sean, if this is about the optics of doing the right thing and the optics of compromise, okay? Given how the DUP have reflected, certainly before the election, on how they feel about Gerry Adams, okay? Michelle O'Neill is the leader.
You're throwing Gerry Adams.
Hold on.
That's the DUP throwing that up as an out deflection.
Well, let me finish the point.
£500 million hole Let me finish the point.
Given that what people are looking for is the optics of compromise from both parties, should Gerry Adams step aside from any role in the discussion in Northern Ireland? Michelle O'Neill would work away. She's the leader of Sinn Féin. Should he step aside from any role in any of the negotiations or press conferences about what's happening in Northern Ireland if Arlene Foster also agreed to step aside?
The first thing I'll do, right, you're saying about the first thing I want to correct you on, so Stephen, is you're saying about the DUP being the biggest party up at Stormont. Sinn Féin are the biggest party in Stormont. They're an all-Ireland party. They have so many votes in the Republic too. So they're one party. It's just the North is the branch.
Let's come
here.
Back to the question. Should Gerry Adams step aside from any role in Northern Ireland? But he's present at all of, certainly a lot of the press conferences.
He's president of an all-Ireland party.
But if the DUP, given the accusations, unproven accusations that they have around Gerry Adams, should Gerry Adams step aside? Using the same logic.
Again, this is a deflection away from our head team. That's all it is. You can't turn around and say, Gerry Adams didn't cause a £500 million hole in the grant up here. Gerry Adams takes no part in the government up here. He's not on the executive. He's not an MLA.
So what would be the problem with him stepping aside?
Stepping aside from
the press conferences, stepping aside from him giving speeches on behalf of Sinn Féin about what's currently happening in Northern Ireland. I'm presenting a hypothetical situation that if the DUP took a similar approach and said, we demand, and they use the word demand, that Gerry Adams steps aside for this reason, would Sinn Féin accept it?
Well, can I give you a wee history lesson then? Do you remember during the very first talks, the DUP says no talks until decommissioning, no talks until you say the war is over, no talks until this, no talks until that. Do you not remember that?
Sean, thank you. William in Belfast. Morning, William.
Thank you, Stephen. Stephen, this is Dresden Nelson McCausland, right? If you are the guardian of the union, that's what the union is supposed to be, you cannot be mixed up in RHI, NAMA, Red Sky, or even go back to Peter Robinson and his £5 garden. You need to get away from that.
Well, again, unproven.
I said you can't be mixed up. That is...
Politicians get mixed up in things all the time.
We are the guardians of the union. We can't do it. I voted Alliance and I'm a unionist. If you look at the eight... and this is addressed to Maliki about we unionists are not fair-minded. If you look at the eight alliance, every one of them comes from a unionist area. There's no West Belfast, there's no Bogside, there's no West of the Ban alliance. We unionists are fed up with these irregularities. And my way of this is to have another election, and the garden unionists will come back to us. Come back, because we're selling ourselves down the drain. The guardians have to be whiter than white. The other lot, and I hate calling them the other lot, they have robbed banks. They want to bring the union down so they can get away with almost anything.
Well, they haven't. Sinn Féin are a political party, democratic, law-abiding political party with a political mandate.
You have to say that. We're all.
You don't have to say anything.
Everybody knows the past. Everybody knows what they've done. All I'm saying is, guardian of unionists, look after it. Keep away from these issues.